welcome back to another episode of Africans Talk Football. How is everybody feeling tonight?
Wonderful. Wonderful. How are you?
Man, I feel great. Man, I feel all right, you know? Calm, cool, and collected. Three-point points collected, you know? Some of us can say that. Some of us cannot. But we'll get into that here very, very shortly. Just wanted to say again, thank you to all of our friends, all of our supporters that have been listening, whether this is the first episode or whether you guys have been rocking with us, you know, for the years that we have been putting out our episodes. We really do appreciate it. It's a big week, and we don't want to waste any time. We want to jump right into the matches, starting with the marquee match this weekend. It's been the 1-2 knockout punch that we've been watching these last few years. It's Arsenal versus Manchester City in Manchester. The game was at the Etihad today. I think it was one of the matches that we all were going to look forward to, even though we knew that there were some key players that were out, and which is tough to, you know, there was Kevin De Bruyne out on City side and then Odegaard out on Arsenal side, both key midfielders, both captains. So from the jump, we kind of knew this was still going to be a top billing game, even with these key players missing. And for Arsenal, you know, I'm just going to pass it off to Gabriel when I'm done here. But for Arsenal to hold City to 2-1 for the majority of the match, I think in itself just shows that they still do have the fight and the heart of champions. You know, it shows that they do want to be champions, even though they haven't done it these past couple of years. It shows that they have this, they have smoke with City. Like they really got beef with City, and they don't like them. You know, they went into Etihad and they did exactly what they were supposed to do, albeit the result isn't what they wanted. They show that they have that fight and that the rest of the league is, you know, still not where these 1 and 2 teams are right now. But Gabriel, as far as the match itself, I know you want to talk red card. I know you want to talk the match, but is this what you expected as far as the result? Because I think City looked a little timid at times, and you guys really were holding them, you know, for lack of a better, you know, 45 minutes. But is this what you expected as far as the match?
Yes and no, because I didn't expect there to be a red card. Or if I expected there to be a red card, it wouldn't be in that way, and it wouldn't be that early in the match. So, yes and no. I knew it wouldn't be as like tight of a game as people expected. I expected there to be space a lot of places. So I can tell we wanted to play a little bit more advanced. We took Ben White out. We put Timber on the right-hand side. We started Calafiori. So we wanted to play. This match, man. Oh, God. I honestly think they deserve the goal in the first 15-20 minutes. I mean, they scored in the first 10 minutes. I think they deserved it. They were obviously the better team. They attacked Calafiori a lot, too. It's kind of crazy. I expected them to kind of do that because that was his first, you know, Prem game. But a Prem start. But yet again, we just started rough. And then as the game went on, you know, we started to get a little bit more comfortable, We got our goal, which was great. But no. As I expected us to get, you know, Calafiori with a beautiful finish. So I knew it was going to come from somewhere. Like, I knew the goal was going to come from somewhere, but I didn't know where, and we finally got it. Okay, great, we're on even terms. And then I feel like we're the better team going into the latter end of the half. The last 15 minutes of the half, I think we're the better team. City really didn't have much going forward. And we get the second goal, which is amazing. You know, as I expected, you know, we're the better team. We finish out the half better. And then to get the red card at the end of the second half was just, I think both the yellow cards were weak. in my opinion. I think if you really watch the match, I think in the beginning of the match, there were a lot of fouls early. As soon as the game started, Kai Havertz fouled Rodri. So it was feisty from the start. And 4 minutes in, 5 minutes in, 7 minutes in, he's letting these fouls go and no yellow cards. So for him to just kind of give Trossard that yellow card when, I mean, it's a little pull of the shirt, but it's nothing crazy in a high intense match, you know, 15 minutes in, and that's his first foul. I think that's just, I don't know. I think that's just early and just unnecessary. I don't know. That's to me, that's a talking to if you've been letting things go all match. So he's on a yellow, yes, but the second foul, even at that, I think it's a sell, one. I personally think Bernardo sold it a little bit, one, which is fine. I mean, but at the same time, I don't think that's a yellow card. It's just not a yellow card. And I think to kind of ruin the game, you know, these are when we all know when it's a Champions League match, when it's these matches against the best teams of the best teams, you have to let them play. You can't just, everything can't be so snippy snap. You have to let them play and then give these yellow cards in the end of the match, because this is high end football. Like, this is the best of the best. And I feel like he kept it. He wasn't calling in the beginning of the match. Then he switched up mid match. And then as the game went on, there are things that were happening in the 75th minute that he was giving a yellow card for in the first half, but didn't give one in the second half for. So I'm like, this is the same things that we're just, I don't understand. So I feel like it was very inconsistent. But at the end of the day, I still feel like we still should have grabbed all 3 points, and it's unfortunate. You know, we turned off for a moment, and that's what good teams do to is these margins. And if we want to be champions, we have to win this match. This is how I feel. I'm disappointed, honestly. I was extremely disappointed. I knew in the last minute when they got the corner, I was like, nah, Jack Grealish understands that no one's been getting down the sideline and crossing the ball in the whole half. No one did it. They're all trying to play through. No one went down the line. As soon as they did that, it was trouble the first time. So that's why he played the ball quick. He realized it. And again, you know, it's just unfortunate, but if we want to be champions, we have to win this game. Bottom line, we're down 10 men, but what did you defend for the next, for the previous, you know, 40, 50 minutes for? Would you defend for the last 50 minutes for if you're not going to finish out the match? Finish it out. We have six defenders on the field, bro. If we were five, we were 5-4, and then we adjusted to a 6-3. We're a 6-3. Finish it out. We have five center backs on the pitch at this point, bro. Five. Finish the match. If we want to be Premier League champions, this is the match we have to win. I'm sorry. This is a match we have to win. So yes, I'm happy with the point. You know, we can talk about, you know, the ref and the red card and this and that and the third. But at the end of the day, finish the match. Finish it. And this is what makes me angry, bro. Because we really should have walked out with 3 points. We really should have walked out with 3 points. And it makes me so mad, bro. It makes me so mad. Because not only did this happen, this happened maybe 4 years ago with Tomiyasu. We were down to 10 men. We defended for 43 minutes. And in the last minute of the game, Rodri or someone scores in the last second. And it makes me so angry, bro. And that match we lost. And this one we tied. So it's a little bit better. But it's a stepping stone. But still, if we want to be champions, bro, we have to finish these matches up. Because what if we're in the Champions League and this happens? We're out. We're done. So this, bro, this is the last thing I'll say. All in all, I appreciate everyone's effort because we showed a lot of character today. I think we showed a lot of character. It was tough to go into that place to you know, get a result like that. It was unfortunate for us to get this red card, yes. But if we're going to have these, like, there's not much we can do, honestly, at this point. Like, you know, just down to 10 men at the Etihad, this is the best team in the world. There's not much we can do. So we're just going to defend. And if you decide to defend until you die, bro. If you want to be a champion, bro, you have to want to die on the pitch, bro. Seriously, bro. No, seriously. Like, you have to die for this shit.
They weren't dying.
Seriously,
they
man. Dying, like, man. You have to just, mentality-wise, we did so well for 50 minutes, bro. And you just, for the last second, that just makes me so, it just, it kills me, bro, because these are the matches that we have to win. We have to get the job done.
Yeah.
You did it all for nothing to me. You didn't do it all for nothing. Like, you showed me a lot of character. That's what it feels like.
Yeah.
And I know they feel like that too. And it's tough, but you have to win. You have to. Spurs, same thing. You know, we get out with 3 points with Spurs, and it's good. We defended fine. That's fine. Get out of there. But we have to do the same exact thing, bro. And that's my only thing. That's it. The last thing I'll say, I don't agree with taking Saka off. Saka should have never come off.
I'm sorry.
I don't understand. You know, Martinelli, he's a runner. He can play. We can play out, and he can potentially get on the ball. But I do not agree with taking Saka off.
I respect it, but
I do not agree with it. I don't.
Because our manager can't take off our captain for anything. But this is not about us. But
yeah, so what were your thoughts?
Fabrizio tweeted that the yellow card was actually for him kicking the ball away, and not. But
also, I think that's circumstantial too.
Yeah. No, but do you think like that was used as like a cup? I mean, he did kick the ball away.
But because
but I felt like
the announcer, yes, but the announcer said that on the field, the ref confirmed that it was for the foul. And then upstairs, they're saying that, oh, no, it was for him kicking the ball away. So what really is it? That's where I'm at.
They're covering.
But at the same time, bro, I think by the time he calls a foul, his body movement is already kind of in play. And it's loud in there. It's loud. Like, these are just, I don't know, that just ruins the game for me, bro. It really just ruins the game. And you know you have to let these teams play, bro. You have to let them play. And I think this just ruined matches. But at the end of the day, it was our job to get the job done, and we did not get the job done. And I'll always refer back to my team, because I'm only going to control what we can control. And we could have controlled getting the ball out like we did for the past previous 50 minutes. We proved it for 50 minutes. Why can't we do it for 50 minutes and 10 seconds?
Yeah, Mike, did you have anything?
Yeah, I mean, well, for me, this just tells me why Arsenal will never be champions as long as City's in the league and doing what they're doing. I mean, it's just another example. Last week, we saw a red card with Declan Rice. This week, he should have learned. Don't kick the ball away. I'm sorry. Initially, I even thought when the second yellow came out, yeah, it was a little bit harsh, but we're not talking about the first one. Why are you making such a – the first one shouldn't have happened to begin with.
The first one shouldn't have been a yellow in the first place.
So it's like, to me, it's like, guys, we're not going to cry when there's a second yellow. Like, let's be fucking responsible. Already you should have that in your head from what happened last week. So senses should be up that, hey, we have to be smart today. We can't just be playing like, you know, this is just another regular game.
The first yellow card isn't
a
yellow card, though.
And then to hold them for all this while and not win the game, I completely agree with you. I agree with your frustration. If you hold them for that long, you have to finish the game. And you didn't finish it. And it's kind of been the trend with you guys about, you know, finishing off what you have going. And yeah, you walk away with 1 point. You did the same last year. You walked away with 1 point. Did you end up winning the league? No, you didn't. It's just like, I don't see anything this year that tells me this year is going to be different. It was just another Arsenal-Man City game that was competitive, but in the end, they walked away with 1 point. You guys walked away with 1 point. And to me, it was just one of those games that I just felt like, if you held, you should have won, and you didn't win. So there's not really much to say here.
So I'll disagree with that a little bit. I have a few takes from this game, and I don't want to be too technical. But, Mike, the reason I say I disagree with that is because this was away, you know, and for Arsenal to hold away, you know, the biggest issue last year was – Arsenal losing matches that they weren't supposed to lose. You know, if you are going to lose matches and you aspire to win the league, you should probably lose matches to those in the top four, because those are the guys that you can afford to, you know, maybe trade points with. Let's not lose the guys who are going to be in 10th place, 15th place, so on and so forth. So for Arsenal to, you know, potentially win the league, they need to win their matches at home against these top four, top six teams, and they need to either draw or potentially win away. You know, they need to not drop points away. That's what they need to do. For City today, the reason they rejoiced at the end as hard as they did is because they knew that this is a match that at the end of the season they're going to look back and say, I'm glad that we didn't drop all 3 points. You know, and so for me, this is as much as it's a draw for Arsenal, it's a big draw for City. You know, like it's a very, very big draw for City, because in the past we've seen City do what they were supposed to do against these smaller teams and against these, you know, these Spurs. It's against, you know, the Arsenals. It's against these bigger teams that sometimes give them trouble. But City historically does what they're supposed to do against the smaller teams. That's just the way it's been.
No, but Cornelius, they did the same thing last year. And what happened?
We got four.
So what was the difference?
4 points from City. No, we got 4 points from City. We won.
It didn't contribute to you guys winning the league because you didn't win the league.
Okay.
But I'm saying, they still have steps in the right direction.
You're acting like, oh, just because you got 1 point just means that you're not.
No, I'm just saying, if you want to win the league, you have to do something different. And this doesn't. This didn't show me anything.
Bro.
It was just another draw, like you did last year against City.
Okay.
Like, kudos for holding them for 45 minutes.
I agree. We should have won, but that doesn't mean that we're not going to win the league or that this is why we're not going to win anything. But, okay. If you say so.
No, I'm just saying, I wasn't impressed because I felt like, okay, you held them, but you didn't win the game. What are we talking about here?
I'm frustrated from the game, too.
Hey, that's fair. That's
everybody
fair.
Can't be Chelsea, Mike. Everybody can't.
We've been shit, remember? We're the shit club. We're the shit club. So, hey, we're the shit club. But somehow, niggas, that just hold City to the point. Hey, you know, hey. I'm just saying. I'm just pointing out fact. I'm not gonna give you kudos for holding City. No, you did that last season. You still didn't win the league. You did it this year. What do you want me to do? Take kudos for holding them for 45? No.
Talk there from six, bro.
Everybody has their opinion.
See you back at six after Christmas.
We're in fifth. Relax. But the biggest takeaway from this match is Rodri, I think, for me. Already down Kevin De Bruyne. We didn't actually hear exactly what his injury was. They downplayed it a little bit, which makes me think that it's going to be something that he'll come back from quickly. They just want to take precautions because he was out, you know, the majority of last season. But being down Rodri, you know, City has players. They have people that can step up and take his place, but nobody's going to be able to fill his shoes. So I feel like that's going to be big moving forward. As far as the injury, it looks pretty bad. What do y'all think? You know, we haven't heard much since the match, since it just happened, but what do y'all think about the Rodri news?
I think it's a big miss. I think, obviously, De Bruyne, you know, what he brings to the table is, you know, obvious. He's a world-class player, but I really think Rodri's absence is an absence that they can't afford. I think he's their most influential player. And I know it was pretty early on, but you could kind of tell they kind of lost a grasp, they being City, they kind of lost a grasp on the game once he left.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's unfortunate. Hopefully he can come back soon and it's not anything serious because he hasn't really, he had a busy summer winning the Euro, so he didn't really play all like that at the start of the season before the international break, but he's a loss that they can't afford. Thankfully, they got Gundogan. I think he'll be able to help them, but, you know, when you really look at, you know, this game, especially Arsenal don't have Odegaard, yeah, it's unfortunate that they lost him in a game like this, but, you know, hopefully he can come back.
Yeah, this was a big draw for City. I think more so this is going to feel tough for Arsenal. Like Gabriel said, they show the fight, but sometimes it's just not good enough in the end. And it can be devastating when you know that this could potentially be the reason why, you know, further down the line, you may or may not be where you want to be at the end of the year. So it's still very, very early, which is good. And it's very positive for you to be able to show this resilience. You know, we're only 5 matches into the year, but again, you're going to have to beat the top dogs if you want to be the top dog. And moving forward to, you know, the other team that decided to just draw this week, Manchester United. It's crazy because I feel like, and I said this in the group chat, because I know Salam has said this before, and I think me just watching the highlights and not full match, I kind of got a very, very focused glimpse on what he says. Bruno Fernandes just went missing, man. And I saw a crazy stat and I stopped it. And I'm so glad that the stat was actually shown in the extended highlights, because it says 16 shots on goal, no goals this year. And I think he's like leading the league in most shots on frame without an actual goal in 5 games. I think, you know, at certain times, and I feel like we're pretty good on not like harping on players on this podcast, but we do need to start holding people accountable. And I don't want to just say Bruno, because it wasn't just Bruno, but Salam, bro, if you want your team to be good, bro, like, and this is something that Chelsea had issues with for the last 3-4 years, just being clinical, but the highlights were bad, man. I mean, it wasn't just him. It was Garnacho, you know, it was Bruno, but what were you seeing specifically? Because I know you watched the match. Because I still don't understand how y'all lost, man.
No, I mean, we lost because we didn't put the ball in the back of the net.
I'm saying draw.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah. In the grand scheme of things, you know, to go into Selhurst Park, a place where it's been very difficult for us the past few years, a place where we got beat 4-0 last year, you would think a point away from home would be good. And I guess it is for the league, but that game was disappointing because we had so many chances to score, to win the game, to put the game away even, and we didn't capitalize. We lead the league with the most missed big chances with 17. I mean, the next team has like 9, which, you know, when you look at it on one side, it's obviously bad that we're not putting the ball in the back of the net, but we're creating chances. But, you know, like if you can't win, if you can't, you know, really get what you deserve if you don't take care of business in the attacking third. But the draw was disappointing. I think that there's just a few things that are very obvious with me, and it's that to start the game, I was a little disappointed in one big decision, and that was Eriksen starting for Ugarte. Once again, I don't understand why the people that we, you know, spend the majority of the summer after, why they can't come in and make an impact on the team. But, you know, I was actually humbled, and the decision to start Eriksen was actually the better decision. We controlled the game. I think we look head and like just night and day compared to last year. But I think for us, man, where the game really kind of got away with us was when you took the possession-based players out of the team. Obviously, we created so many chances before that. Xerxes did a great job of creating chances. Garnacho, you have to score.
For sure.
You know what I'm saying? Like, he's had a pretty good start to the season. But again, these are big chances that we're missing. So it's kind of like we can't even really show for our good performances. But for me, when Eriksen left, when Ahmad left, and when Xerxes left, the game was gone. when you took Xerxes off and you put Rashford on, the game was gone. Because at that point, this is nothing against Rashford, but I know Xerxes gets a lot of heat for not scoring, I guess a lot, but he's a very good player and he fits our team very well. He links up very well. He creates chances for, you know, people to score, but people don't score. I don't know why you're laughing. I'll get to you here in a minute.
No, how long is he's a very good player and going to be good enough?
No, I think he is a good player. Yeah, obviously, man. He didn't create the.
Okay. He didn't, Chelsea wins got Mike he spicy, didn't, bro.
Hold on.
No, we went for next week.
He had a few opportunities to finish. He didn't finish those. He should have made those. But okay. He does a good job of creating as well, too. Much more than, you know. Anyway, but when you put on Rashford, when you put on Hoyland, I just feel like that's what the substitutions really were.
Wait, we're giving up on Hoyland already?
No, I'm saying that like when those subs came on though, the substitutions is what killed us. Again, when Ahmad left, when Eriksen left, when Xerxes left, all the possession based players in the team in the attacking third had now gone, which then puts Bruno in a position where he feels like he has to do everything. Bruno also leads the league in the most turnovers in a game and in the league.
Oh, well. Always.
So
always do that, bro.
Yeah, but again, it's just kind of like in the attacking third when you're always doing that, when you lose the ball, you're susceptible for counterattacks. And like that's why we concede some of the chances that we do because of, again, some of the decisions in the attacking third. But I said to Gabriel, I respected the decision of Arteta to take Saka off. Saka was the captain today. But, you know, Arteta, I guess, thought that for the second half, you know, a player like him wasn't going to help us in the game. And I respected that. Whether you agree with that decision is up to you.
Yeah, I know. I respect it too.
But for me, when you look at Bruno Fernandes, his performance, there is no reason why he was able to play a full 90 minutes plus. Is absolutely ridiculous when some of the players that are coming off don't deserve to come off. And again, some of this favoritism is could be this manager's Achilles heel, because I feel like you can show that you can bench Rashford, you can bring him off the bench, but you know, after he's been scoring, but someone who has been, quite frankly, been missing from the middle of last season, come on. Like, you know, I think that that's I think it says a lot, but disappointing. Hopefully we can bounce back. A lot of good football being played.
Why do you think there's so much up and down? I mean, I know it's early, albeit it's only five matches.
Bro, I just don't think we're scoring, bro. I just don't think we're scoring. I think defensively we're sound. This will be the last thing I say. Defensively, I think we're sound. Another clean sheet. Dalit Martinez looked very good. Mazzarri, probably, to me, I'm not going to say that. I'll say he's a big bargain. He's been a big bargain. He has been. One of the few players I was trying to listen
to what you're going to say. I was like, what are you about to say?
He cleaned
bargain of the summer.
Cleaned that up.
Most impact so far.
He has been good. He has been very good.
So defensively, we're sound. Again, we're creating a lot of chances, but we got to put the ball in the back of the net. I think if we even convert half of the chances that we missed yesterday, I think that there's a different narrative around this team. But it's not just yesterday's game. It's been the past few games. So
is it time to bench Bruno? What are we doing with the Bruno situation?
Bro, what?
I wouldn't necessarily bench Bruno. We don't have anybody healthy that could replace him. I just think, again, I think if he – and I don't know if he can, but he just needs to simplify his game, man. We look good when we're connecting and when we're playing as a team. You know, even Rashford has shown glimpses of when he combines, he looks better. Bruno is someone he's just like the highlight, the ultimate highlight. I don't know if you guys saw. Did you guys see the chance Xerxes created for him? He shot outside of the foot, and it's like,
and it went wide left. Yeah,
like, oh great, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, we all know what you're looking for. You know what I'm saying? But again, he makes that. You don't say anything. It's a professional move.
But those have to be on frame, bro.
Yeah, well, I mean,
and
I don't think you bench him. To answer your question, I don't think you bench
him. I agree. I don't think you bench him either. And this is, you know, I was watching the City game with, you know, my homie Zion, who's been on the pod. And this was something I said after the first Gabriel header, where Doku was guarding him on the corner, yeah, and he had the free header and just missed a little bit. And I was looking at his Arsenal friend, and I was just like, bro, you have to expect more out of that, because this is a game where you're down a man. That has to go in. Mm-hmm. And luckily, you know, he gets the second one where they put Kyle Walker on him. And you saw they were like, okay, that Doku matchup, it didn't work. So let's put Kyle Walker on him now. And he still got free. And the second time, literally the ball was in the exact same spot that the first one was in. This time he scored. And I was like, those are the fine margins that you're talking about when you're looking at matches. When you're looking at this United match, I mean, when it's nil-nil, you can look the other way and say, hey, Eze had a few chances where he should have scored.
Absolutely.
Eze also
had he put wide. Oh my gosh.
Eze had a few chances where you're looking at him like, bro, put that away. And now you're shifting the whole dynamic of the game. You guys are at home.
The keeper played well, though. You got to give credit to Onana. Henderson was player of the game for a reason.
Yeah,
he was player of the game for a reason.
Because Onana,
crazy double save.
Onana, he's been way better than last year. Go ahead.
I agree. The keepers did well. I 1,000% agree. But Salam, I was just on this podcast a few weeks ago telling you this exact same thing, bro. We all have to hold our clubs to a little bit of a higher standard, bro. We were on here last week talking about how Crystal Palace is just like Chelsea's West Ham, how it's that team that gives us issues. And the difference is this week we took care of business and y'all didn't. You feel me? Like,
you don't look at it that way, though. You're looking at it based off of the result. We dominated the game.
I agree.
This is different from the game you saw today versus Arsenal versus City.
No,
this is
I
a
agree.
Completely different situation.
I agree.
You know the difference between with you guys, because you guys won 3-0, 3-0.
3-0, yes.
The difference between that, you guys made those chances. If Jackson misses those, what are we talking about here?
Right.
But Salam, but this
and
is
we created. We created.
But that's exactly double the amount my of point, though. But that's exactly my point, though.
Yeah.
If you guys have these aspirations to, you know, follow up and maybe repeat being FA Cup winners or get and be top. No, I'm being serious, though, because you come in here and you said it a couple of weeks ago, bro, like you have the team now. You have players that even with these injuries, you can bring in and. Now you have a Xerxes.
We have better players. Don't frame what I said. I said we have better players. I didn't say we were ready for anything. I said we have better players than we did.
So off the FA Cup, being the current FA Cup holders, you don't think you guys are ready to take the next step with the new players you acquired over the summer? Come on, bro. Me personally, I do.
Our manager can't start the people that he's bringing in, though.
I don't know. And that's my whole point.
My aspirations are different from, I guess, we all have different aspirations.
That's my whole point, bro. I said this a few weeks ago. You guys have to win these games. Like, you have to win these games against these lower teams. And I know it's like, and the only reason I'm saying that is because we were here and we're still here. We can move on to Chelsea now just because the conversation is kind of moving that way. But I'm glad Chelsea got the 3-0 win. In a way, I didn't expect it. I know Mike was being a little pompous last week when he said 3-1, but I think Mike actually fully expected it. I didn't expect it. And I know West Ham has had a bad start to this year, but I haven't been ready to trust a Chelsea team for the last 3-4 years now. Okay. So for me to even see us playing well over these first 4 weeks, I'm just like, all right, bro, they're going to have to show me something. Yeah. And to be honest, this was one of the best games I've seen Moises Caicedo play in a Chelsea blue.
To be honest, this was one of
the most clinical I've ever seen Nicholas Jackson in a half.
Yeah.
He didn't put together a full 60 minutes or 90 minutes, but that first 45 minutes, bro, that was the best 45 minutes I've ever seen him put together in a half. There's still Wesley Fofana being an idiot. There's still Levi Colwill when we have possession, him kind of just trying to play a long ball and losing it. There's still a lot of things I look at this match and say, bro, I'm glad I woke up at 7:30 and saw a win because this wasn't even a great match for me. Like I'm being completely honest. I'm glad we were able to get those two quick goals, put them away kind of early, and then the third was just like, all right, like, yeah, it's deaded now. Thank you, Cole Palmer. But for me, this was a 7 out of 10 for a match. Maybe 7.5. This wasn't even an 8 because I saw a lot of things that I don't want to get too technical about it. I'll let Mike say his piece, but I saw a lot of things where I was just like, bro, this doesn't look great, but offensively it's clicking. Like offensively it's clicking.
Yeah.
Even defensively, there are a lot of times where I'm like, okay, this looks decent. But it's a little bit of like the in-between. Like I said, we still don't really know how to control matches yet. So when we're, you know, like I like Chelsea when we're down 1-0. I like Chelsea even 1-1 right now because we're still fighting for something. It's when we're supposed to be in control that I feel a little on edge about us. So that's where we have to grow as a team. But this was a beautiful match for me in the sense that we were able to go away to a team that we've had issues with and just put them to bed and just put it to bed. And you could tell their fans were deaded. They had a goal call back. And from there, it was just, you know, it is what it is. But I'm super happy that we got this win because this was a confident win for me. It wasn't personally, I think we should have scored more, but it was one of those confident wins that I know that we can go and take home. This is another, you know, this is a London derby. You know, West Ham is in London. So this is another one where we can look at the end of the season and say we took care of business at home. So I loved it. I loved what I saw from the boys. Again, like I said, Nicholas Jackson, best 45 I've ever seen. Moises Caicedo, best 60 minutes I've ever seen. He still had a few where he was giving the ball away where I'm just like, hey, bro, you're playing a little bit too comfortable now. But bro, from him winning the ball back in our attacking third to him splitting lines to him doing what he was bought for $100 million to do, it looked really, really good for a good 45 to 60 minutes. And so I saw way more positives than negatives. And in a 3-0 win, I'm glad I was able to say I can critique, but I can come home and feel nice about this win. This was a good 3-0 win that I feel good about, even with my critiques.
No, I agree with all your critiques. I think you're spot on with those because we're still a team that's fragile. We all know, you know, offense is clicking, our front seems to be picking it up, but we all know we're still fragile in the back. And to walk away with a clean sheet was, for me, the biggest part that I enjoyed about that game, not conceding. There were some mistakes, you know, for fun out. Every game is going to have a couple, but, you know, by now he has to be the vet in the back. He has to be the vet. Even though I like his game, I think those mistakes sometimes can cost us. If you look at the Bournemouth game, he had that pass back, which led to a PK. Luckily, Sanchez saved it. This game, he had the pull on Somerville. If Somerville didn't try to sell it so hard, it could have been called, but he tried to make it seem so dramatic, therefore made it, you know, not let them call it because it's like you're going down too easy over there. But I agree with you. It's a very good 3-0 win, confidence booster, you know, two wins back-to-back, which is not very common nowadays, you know, with Chelsea. So this is a win that I think helps us build confidence. And I told Salam last week, you know, I'm not going to lie, I love the luxury of taking off Jackson Palmer and what's his name? And Enzo and bringing on Nkunku Felix and Neto. Like I'm never going to feel like it's normal. Like I feel like I'm just still getting used to it.
Yeah.
Cuz you know, for the past couple of years, the options we've had and the players we've had and how, you know, substitutions have been made, it's refreshing to see that we can take these guys off. We don't have to play them all 90. Give me a good shift, a good 60 minutes, and then we can bring a group of guys on two that can be just as dangerous and can add on to it. So
because, you know, it's like whenever you have a name brand that you love, you know what I'm saying? You're going to trust with them even when they switch up the recipe. You know, like when Wendy's switched up their fries, but you're like, man, I know we're going with like the healthy sea salt, but these ain't really my jam, but it's Wendy's, so I'm just going to rock with it. You know, like,
That's a specific example. Right?
That was life-changing for me.
You know what I'm saying? Joao Felix, Pedro Neto, you know, these are name brands, you know, and although they may not be the wonder kids we thought they were, we know Neto has gone through his string of injuries, but we're still going to rock with these name brands. Jadon Sancho, he did not have a great half, but we were able to take him off and bring on another name brand.
Who assists?
You know what I'm saying?
He did get an assist. Yeah,
so
it's, even though he didn't play well.
And it's nice to have these name brands that even though they might switch up and they might not be what they used to be a year ago or 2 years ago, we know that they're going to be able to plug and play and play at a level that Maresca deems favorable. You know what I'm saying? Because at the end of the day, we both said it. This guy is kind of no nonsense. He values hard work. He values what he sees in training. So if he's playing you, that means he's giving you a chance because he likes what he sees. What happened to Mudryk? He started the first three matches and now he's thinking about leaving in January. You're gonna get your chance with this guy. You're gonna get another flop. I agree. I'm about to get another one
here in a second, but go ahead.
These guys are gonna get their chances. It's up to you whether or not you're gonna take it.
I wanted to clarify something that I said the other day after your guys' game. Mike had issue with it, so I just want to pose the question here. It's not really a question, it's more of a statement. Enzo's a flop, 100%. And I can comfortably say that because this is what I said. This is what Mike disagrees with.
Oh, my God.
I said, when you look at Caicedo's best game was, to me, yesterday. You guys watch more than I do. Maybe
he's had a few other performances.
You say maybe top five performances you've seen in a Chelsea shirt.
Yeah.
So I said, when you look at what he's done this season, I've always believed he was a good player. But even when you look at his body of work last year as a Chelsea player, even last year he showed glimpses of like what he could be. He showed that like, you see why he was evaluated where he was evaluated.
I don't necessarily agree with you, but okay, I'm gonna just let you go.
Most of the things that he's gonna provide maybe won't show up statistically, but from me just watching it, especially in the modern game, he does a lot. Now, and again, great performance yesterday. I can see why he is priced at where he was. Part of that obviously was because Brighton just valued him at what they valued him. You had to pay what you had to pay. But when you look at the other guy, I just, quite frankly, just don't see what he brings. It's not as if he's this great leader. You know, it's not as if he's this Wes Morgan. It's not as if he's this, you know, like, oh, you know, like that's our captain up there. He's not like he doesn't have like the technical, like the talent of like a, this is just a name, but like of a Paul Pogba, you know what I'm saying? I'm just saying though.
Stop it.
You know how they do, you know, like with the, like this person was cost this much and he hasn't done this. I just feel as if like, when you look at this dude, I'm like,
good land. Where are you going?
What do you see?
I mean, I'm gonna tell you, just like you said about Caicedo, what this man does will not show up every day in a stat sheet. If I thought Enzo was so bad and he wasn't providing us what we needed, I don't think Maresca would be playing him. I don't know what you're looking at him to do. Yeah, it's like picking on Jorginho at this point.
I just think
Jorginho was on Chelsea.
That's a perfect example.
It was hard to see what Jorginho was doing. but he not was effective.
It was very straightforward. I think Jorginho is a very. I'm not trying to be funny. I think Jorginho is a very good player. Even when you guys were struggling, and he kept playing, I was the one telling you why he was still playing. I appreciate him as a player. This guy, this is just my opinion, you know what I'm saying? Because you've heard of. Remember, Anthony's the poster boy of, right?
No, he still is.
I'm just saying. This guy,
that's a flop.
Anthony's a proper flop than I guess Enzo is. It's crazy. But I've never seen, aside from Jack Grealish, someone who costs 100 plus million who just doesn't give you like.
I think you're on your own on this.
I'm not going to agree with you, and I'm not an Enzo fan whatsoever. But to throw the word flop is crazy.
I mean,
to throw the word flop around when he was starting on a World Cup winning, Copa America winning squad
is crazy.
Oh, really? He this last Copa, did you watch?
I'm not saying he played. You watch? Yeah, I played.
You watch? Come on, don't do that. I watched.
He wasn't part of the team. He didn't play him.
Don't disrespect the game. Don't disrespect the game.
No, but
Yasser has a name for these, but I won't say it on here.
You're reaching.
I won't say it. I think you're reaching. I won't say it.
Would I love to have?
What do you want?
Personally, to show you. No, personally,
what
I love to have Romeo Lavia there instead.
Grealish to show. I don't know. There's only been like a few players in the Premier League.
Not even the same type of play.
Hold on. There's only been a few players in the Premier League who have ever cost 100 plus million. You know what I'm saying?
No, I agree.
When you look at Declan Rice, that's 100. That's 100 million, right, Gabriel? That's 100 million right there, right?
No,
he's not giving to me. You 100 not to million. Me.
Mike,
every pound.
Declan Rice is not a $100 million player. That's how much he costs. Yeah, we can agree on that.
He's
not a $100 million player.
So see, that's where you and I disagree. So I feel like
Rice do that makes him $100 million?
What does Enzo Fernandez do besides be on the bus?
Because that's how much he costs. I'm not over here arguing with you that he's a $100 million player. I think you're just picking at it because now there's nothing to pick on Chelsea, so we have to find a scapegoat. But that's what it is. I don't know what you saw yesterday.
That was such a last two wins got Mike talking spicy.
That's a valid question. Mike, you have two guys. You have two guys.
What do you expect from Enzo that would make him $100 million? Because you're comparing him to Pogba, who they don't even have the same game. Who are you comparing him to?
Just comparing him because they were both high-profile midfielders that cost a lot.
You're comparing them because of the price tag.
Okay, but they don't play the same way. I'm saying Caicedo does everything else. This guy can give you the goals. He can give you assists. What does he do? I'm just saying. We talk about Bruno Fernandes. Like what position does Enzo play? Center mid, attacking mid, defensive mid. What position does he play?
I'm asking you
so I can frame my next question.
What he's doing right now doesn't work for you. So tell me what you expect from him that would make him worth what he was paid for.
I think give me more goals and assists. Bruno ain't caused that. I'm just saying. I'm just posing a question. I'm just posing a question. Not even a question. It's more of a statement.
We used to have a segment that
I don't want to bring back up, but you guys know what it was called. He's on that watch.
The only thing
I'm not going to bring that back up. That's locked. That's locked in the vault. But you know what watch? What list he's on? He's on that list.
That list only has Anthony on it.
What I will say about that is he is a poor man's Kovacic.
Imagine
in the role that he's supposed to play.
$100 million. Imagine a poor man's Kovacic, not even a regular Kovacic. Kovacic.
I've never.
I have the perfect sound for you. Man, I got the perfect.
Let's not hash out old jokes because we've already said no one on this podcast believes that Enzo Fernandez is worth $100 million.
It's worth
Chelsea inflated the market. We already said that. We messed up. We inflated the market. That's why all these midfielders are running around, all these forwards are running around thinking that they're worth $100 million. They're not. That's our fault. We know that. But what I'm saying is, at the end of the day, this guy is never going to hold up to his $100 million price tag. But as long as he is a solid midfielder that's doing his job and not messing up, I can roll with this, bro. Like, I got I have Caicedo playing to where I need him to be playing. So as long as Enzo isn't holding him down, this is a balance we're just going to have to rock with. You know, exactly. It is what it is. Like, we don't have anyone better until Lavia comes back. Would I love to have Lavia healthy right now and them being in healthy competition? Yes. But until that happens...
I'm not trying to shake up
your... Tell him, is the price tag that has you...
We already paid the price.
I'm just sharing... The same way we all share links in our group chat. Don't try to come on here and act all, you know what I'm saying? I'm just sharing links, you know what I'm saying? Evaluation is a big thing, you know what I'm saying?
It's not the cap.
Yeah.
I agree.
Hey, man.
I agree.
It's not the cap. We acting as if like...
I agree with you to a certain extent. Flop? No.
No,
I'll take that back.
But he's on that list. You know what I'm talking about? List? He's on that list. On the forbidden list, he's on it. He's on that list. We're watching, at least on the watch.
That's where we go separate ways. Because no, I can agree with most of what you said.
Okay.
But then when we get to that flop, no. Come on.
Hey, I'll be there. I'll be there.
So Mudrik's planning on leaving
he wants more playtime, but that's the thing with him too. Right. You get the playtime,
don't do anything.
Yeah. Maresca trusted you from the jump, like, hey, I'm going to put my hands around you. And then he said, what did he say? When you get it, it's like you don't know what he's going to do with the ball. He has good moments, and then right next after that moment, he does something stupid. Mm. But we're trying to win games. We're not here to, you know, at the end of the day, like, we're not here to, like, just worry about only your development. You also got to put in your part. And I'm not mad at, you know, him not playing recently, because we have a good thing going. You have to interrupt what we have going with your game when you get your chance to play. Look at what Madueke did. He wasn't getting any play time. He got his play time, back-to-back goals, and then he had his hat trick.
Does he know
now English? It's hard to take him out.
Does he know English?
Mudrik?
Yeah.
Yeah, a little bit.
Oh, that'll be good for him. He needs to know.
Stop. Yeah.
That'll be
good. He needs a good loan. I think a good loan will be good for him. He just needs to go on loan, go somewhere where they can trust him to play regularly.
Look, my whole issue with our whole, and this will be it, and then we can get into, you know, Champions League. We're running out of time here a little bit, but my whole thing with this Chelsea project has been, can we figure out a style of play and an identity?
Yeah.
Once we do that, the players that we need to fill in these roles will happen naturally. You know what I mean?
They'll weave themselves out. Exactly.
You know, I initially thought this was going to be an easy process. I'm 3 years in, and I'm figuring out that it's not even close to being done. So for me now, like, I'm looking at the progress we've made in our few years. We've gone really, really high, really, really low, and now we're back to being normal again. So for me, I'm looking forward. I'm like, hey, Mudrik, you got your chance. It didn't work out. I'm sorry, but... Nothing personal, bro. I'm trying to win games. I'm trying to win championships. I'm trying to create a dynasty here. And finally, for the first time, I can see a manager that has that as well. on mine. So I like what I see. I'm just excited for Chelsea to kind of get back into this consistent way of play, and I'm starting to see it with Maresca. Yeah.
That's fair. That's
what it is.
That's all it is. But I want to talk Champions League a little bit, because Champions League is back, baby. We're back in full effect with our European matches. It was strange seeing Champions League actually Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. It was kind of nuts, like being able to see games all week. A few of them were were kind of weak. Some of these matches felt very Europa League, but we did get some good matches this week. I don't know where to start, so I'll just go ahead and I'll start with the first matches that were on Tuesday. I'll just highlight the big ones. We saw Juve get a 3-1 win versus PSV. Aston Villa got a 3-0 win against Young Boys. Kind of want to talk about Villa, man. They look good in the league, and they look good in Europe. John Duran, I don't know, probably super sub of the year, 12th man of the year, already just 5 matches in. I believe he has 4 goals in the Prem. He did not get a goal in Champions League, but I believe he got
missed. Yeah, they took it away.
Yeah, they took it away, but man, it's been real refreshing to see a player that direct. I ain't seen a player that direct in the league in a little bit, like with that much talent and that much directness. I was gonna say they're not my shout outs, but him and Brennan Johnson, and I'm not even really like a big Brennan Johnson fan, I was watching the Spurs highlights, and that he's very, very direct as a player. And I like that. I like seeing this new emergence of young Prem wingers that they just want to score goals. Like, they're only wingers because we don't play 4-4-2 anymore, and they're not allowed to be strikers because the striker is the best player on the team. But these guys are just as hungry to score goals, and I like seeing that in John Durant. But how do y'all feel about Villa? How do you think they're their Champions League campaign is going to be this year based off their first match?
I think it's refreshing to see a team where everybody understands their role. Everybody's comfortable with their role. You know, what Durant is doing on most teams, people will be, you know, screaming for him to start. Like, you got to start him. But I like that, you know, Unai Emery's been able to manage that, keep everything in check. Hey, Ollie Watkins is our guy. You're the guy that comes on to finish the games. And it seems to be working. I don't think they should change anything. Just keep you going.
That's a good point.
They've been good. They probably had the best transfer window out of anyone.
Quietly, low key. Yeah.
I feel like they've had one of the best transfer windows because every player they brought in fit their system perfectly.
I agree.
Unai is the guy to, you know, manage all those. It seems like a good group of guys too. Like, they all like each other. They're all, it seems like a good group of players together. So yeah, no, they've been good. I think they brought in the reinforcements. They actually have like a good 15 players, 16 players to solidly rotate in the team. Yeah. And you know, I think it's still going to be tough for them because, you know, it's still going to be tough. But at the same time, the format of the Champions League has changed, so they can easily get out. Format has changed now. It's not just 4 groups, you know, or these groups with 4 teams in there. Like, nah, the format's completely different. Like, if you don't get out of Champions League now, I'm looking at these teams, like, if you don't get out of Champions League, bro, that's a problem. It's low-key a problem. No, seriously, though. Like, there's too many games now, and there are way too many people that get out of Champions League for you not to get out.
So for those of you who may not know the new Champions League format, the top 8 teams automatically make it through into the round of 16.
The next round. Mm-hmm.
Which is the round of 16. So half of the round of 16 is determined by the top 8 teams. And then the next 16 teams under that will have a playoff. So the top 24 teams all have a chance to make it, and the top 8 teams automatically make it through. So that's kind of how the new format works. So, you know, you kind of just have to be in the top 75% of the group to get a chance to make it through. Being in the top 8 automatically ensures your way through to the knockout stages with this new Champions League format.
But it's like, so if you don't make no playoff, what are you
doing? Yeah, that's what
And it should clearly even out. Like, all these, like, what? I saw it. It's Rapid Wien? It's like Shakhtar. Like Shakhtar, you know.
Strom, Graz.
These guys, Red Star, but Red Star. You'll see. You shouldn't just, you probably won't get a playoff. But, bro, if in some of these playoffs, like, you know, if you're not getting out of Champions League, there's a problem. You should make the knockouts.
Yeah, for sure.
Because it's a little bit easier even now. It's a little bit easier. So, oh, yeah. You know, I feel like they should, bare minimum, get a playoff. Bare minimum for a day. I'm looking at Aston Villa. You know, Unai Emery's good at these one-off games, bro. He's great at these one-off games. Mm-hmm. So, I can see them going to a knockout. Easy. I can really see them going to a knockout and, you know, see what happens.
Yeah, to get through the rest of the Tuesday games, we had Liverpool beat Milan 3-1. Another big Arne Slot win. I think that was a big test for him. First European match under the Liverpool belt. You know, and Pulisic scored first. You know, they were in Milan first and foremost, so it was an away match, and they got scored on within the first 3 minutes of the match. So I think it just showed how calm he is. You know, in these big moments, he can kind of just calm the team. And again, they have veteran guys who have been here before. So I think that was a big statement win for Liverpool. I don't know if you guys were able to watch the match, but
no, I mean, I think it was good. I mean, for Liverpool, for Slot, and you know his team. But I mean, I think I more so took, even though they lost, I took a little bit more away from AC Milan. I really think that team could be a dark horse in this tournament. I think they got a lot of good players, man, and that's a team right there that you can tell they're clicking, they're gelled. Like Mike was saying earlier, like it seems as if there's no crazy egos in there. And with the talent that they have, man, I don't see why they don't make it out of their group and into the round of 16, because I think that they have enough to challenge in Europe and in the league. They're actually tied right now with Inter Milan, but
you know my problem. You know who they're success depends on for me.
Oh, Pulisic?
Nope.
Is that Morata?
Nope. Leao. He should be so much like I feel like he's just not living up to his potential, bro. Because I really feel like he should be one of these top wingers. Every match we should be talking about him.
Yeah.
And he should be
dominating games.
Yeah, he should be dominant, bro. He's such a physical presence, physical force, and he's so good with his feet. And I feel like he should be dominating left backs or right backs. And, you know, he should just take over. I see these like performances from him, and I'm just like, bro, like, what is it going to take for you to take these players 1v1? Like, some days you'll see him on it, and then you'll just see him disappear. And it's like, well, what's why the changeup, man? I really feel like if he becomes the winger I think he can become, that team will be, even more of a dark horse. Oh. I feel like there's a lot of their success weighs on him, bro. So when he plays well, everyone plays well.
Yeah. Pulisic also too, man. You gotta shout out to Pulisic. He has the highest goal contributions, I think, in the Serie A, or definitely on that team. But he's like amongst the top. I think he is in the Serie A. So, shout out to him. Shout out to Tammy coming back, scoring. Tammy Abraham. So it's
Chelsea 2.0.
Yeah, it's Chelsea over there, man. They have a lot of good luck. And honestly, bro, I really think, before we move on, I really think that like, people are catching on to like going to Italy low key, no disrespect.
Yeah,
it's like
a vibe. It's a vibe over there, bro.
Yeah,
it's a little bit more going abroad in general for these.
It's a vibe.
It's a vibe, definitely. But I just feel like, but these players who come and are used to the pace and the physicality of the Premier League, like when they go elsewhere, like I watched McTominay play for Napoli, and I'm like, bro, you did not look like that.
No.
But it was also, he's in a different position. The game is a little bit different there in Italy. Mm-hmm. So, like, when he gets the ball in certain places where he would get the ball in the Prem, he has time to turn, to look over his shoulder, come this way, you know, get his heel on the ball. Like, you don't have that time in the Premier League. You get pressed right away. So if you can't turn on the half turn in the Premier League as a midfielder, he's probably the only midfielder. I don't want to say that, but he's probably one of the few midfielders that can't turn on the half turn from what I've seen consistently for 4 years. But, I mean, I think that these guys that go over there find success, and I think it's just
– No, I agree with you on that.
I agree. Bayern also was able to get another massive win, 9-2 all over Dynamo Zagreb. And then we saw Madrid win 3-1 against Stuttgart on that Tuesday slate.
Shout out company, man.
You know, it's always good to see another black coach in a major role just doing what he's supposed to do and getting wins, man. This is – I feel like he was under some scrutiny from the jump, and so – I just want to see him win, to be honest. I want to see him do as well as possible in that Bayern Munich head manager role. So Wednesday slate, big matches to highlight there. Celtic with a big, massive 5-1 win over
Bulls, man.
Yeah, it was kind of out of the blue, but it's always good to see Celtic in the Champions League. They're one of those teams that we kind of always see, but they're kind of hit or miss. So we'll see how they do this year. Dortmund started off with a solid 3-0 win. I wanted to highlight Dortmund because they've been one of those teams that, you know, they just have been really, really good with developing youth and just young talent. And this team, man, their goal scorers, both of their goal scorers, Jamie Gittens and the young boy from England, Jamie Gittens, and then Guarase, Guinea. You know, he's from Guinea, 28 years old, in his prime now, and he's good. He's been making some noise for them. He has a goal in the league as well for Dortmund. I think they're going to be one of those teams. I mean, I know we always say this, but this Dortmund team, they have some exciting young guys. They have Adeyemi as well. I like this team. I want to see if they can push teams to maybe, you know, get to like a semifinal this year. I know they were able to go far last year. Let's see what they do this year. Man City versus Inter, which was a 0-0 draw. I think that was interesting to everybody. I feel like we kind of expected City to kind of dominate. But
they have big misses.
Did you guys feel like they were both kind of, you know, playing a little – kind of backing off a little bit?
Yeah, I feel like they both had big games coming up on a weekend. They're just like, man, let's just eight of these games anyway, man. Let's just
I'm watching the game like, I know you guys can go harder at each other than this.
We're gonna touch on that.
But I mean, yeah, I think it just seemed as if like the pace. I mean, City had opportunities to score, opportunities to put the game away. Grealish, Gundogan, but yeah, I think, I mean, Inter, you know, looking at AC Milan, Man City, looking at Arsenal. There's just so many games, man, and sometimes that's like the one thing that this is kind of off topic, but that's like the one thing that I'm afraid of with the Champions League. I just don't want it to tarnish, like, to ruin the quality of the games, because now teams are like, we got 8 of these, you know what I'm saying, group stage games. So it's like
they're playing the numbers.
We could
advance with 15 points, 17 points.
Yeah, we could, you know what I'm saying? On the flip side, it probably does incentivize you to win early so that, like, you can get it over with, you're in. But, you know, like, when you're having to kind of look at the game today and then you have to look at the game ahead, it's just kind of like, I don't know. I just don't. Hopefully it doesn't ruin the quality of the product. But most importantly, the players are playing so many games, so many minutes. So shout out to all the players, man.
Yeah, man. PSG with a very, very shaky 1-0 win against Girona off an own goal. I don't know if this has more to say about Girona being able to hold their own. You know, being that they had a masterful season last year in the La Liga. Or if this has more to say about PSG, no Mbappe, like where their identity lies. I know they're looking good in, you know, their league, but as far as European pedigree, where they've been lacking, you know, for these years, which is the thing they want. They want the Champions League. They weren't able to get it done with Mbappe, with Messi, with Sergio Ramos, you know, with Neymar. The list goes on and on. But in recent years, we know they kind of put together that super team. Do we ever think that PSG is going to have this European dominance, or is it kind of just one of those things where they have their shot? It matters.
They have their shot. It's done.
Really? I think that team could be another sleeper though too, man. I feel like, especially now, like there's no crazy egos on that team. That team has a lot of talented players. They have a great coach. So if they could click, you know, they have a coach that has shown that he can win in this competition. So I think, you know, sometimes in certain situations, like less is more, you know. So like I think that, you know, that could potentially, you know, help them out, because they got a lot of ballers on that team, man, still. There's a lot of new guys that are coming into the fold because of, you know, the departures that left. Like Barcola.
Barcola,
shout out. Like he's
young boy.
He's not Mbappe.
He's a real talent.
Young shout out.
Yeah, he's nice. Pretty good. He's
pretty good. Baby face, right?
Yeah, man. Yeah, but yeah, man. Is that all the games?
No, so that was Tuesday and Wednesday. These are the Thursday slates. Just going to highlight the bigger matches here since there were so many. Leverkusen started off their campaign with a 4-0 win over Feyenoord.
Yeah.
Florian Wirtz looked good. He had two goals. Grimaldo also had a goal there. All of their goals were in the first half. Kind of coasted in the second half. Boniface with that crazy fake shot.
He's elite.
That team got too much sauce right now.
I know.
They moving with, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, we won 2 out of 3 trophies. It should have been 3, but we ain't going to talk about it. You know, like, they have that confidence. They look really, really good. Right?
I just thought of a start sub sell, but I don't know if
I'm gonna keep it. Since we have a resident gunner on the pit pod, I'll just ask him about the 0-0 draw versus Atalanta. I know you were all some players, but how did you feel about that midweek draw?
Honestly, I feel exactly what Salam said. We got a point. We have 7 more of those. Get out of there. We have a big match on the weekend.
Yeah.
Honestly, I didn't even care that much. So I was like, Atalanta, yeah, like I would like to win, start off with, but bro, we have 7 of these. There's no more. Like, we have 7. Like, we have so many of these, and we'll get our wins. We'll put more effort into this when we need to, but right now we need to focus on the league. And there'll be times in the year where we'll have to decide what competition we really need to focus on that week. There's going to be times we have 3 matches in a week, you know, 6 matches in 18 days with 3-4 different competitions. Like, you know, you have to pick and choose when, you know, your battle. So, no, we got a point. No, get out of there. I'm cool with it. I'm all good.
No, I mean, I thought it was actually a good 0-0 win for you guys. Because going into that game with, you know, missing Odegaard and all of that, I thought it was a good result to walk out of Atalanta with. Huge save by Raya. Huge double save, actually, by Raya on that PK. That's the Champions League, man. You just got to survive and move on. Yeah. Survive and move on and hope for a favorable matchup.
Yeah, I'm not going to worry about it.
Yeah, I think that's a good mentality to have, at least with these matches that may be a little difficult. Atalanta obviously being a team that has some European pedigree as well, so it's not like this is a loss or a draw, excuse me, against a team that you should necessarily beat on paper. So I feel like it's a good way, especially it's an away match as well, so good way to start the game. Atleti beat RB Leipzig 2-1. Shout out Griezmann. I am an undercover fan and president of the Griezmann Stan Club. That's my guy, bro. I love Greece. I ain't gonna hold you. And then Barcelona, very, very shocking, but started off their Champions League campaign this year with a loss to Monaco, 2-1. Yo, I was looking at this Monaco team. Yeah. They have some players.
They got a good player.
Very, very, very sneaky dark horse for this Champions League campaign. Minamino, Zakaria, who was an old Chelsea player, Salisu and Kerrer in the back, and Bolo, Briel and Bolo as their striker. They also have the young French guy, Magnus.
Yeah.
I don't know how to pronounce his last name, but he's a right winger. He's one of the guys that got the goal. Very, very good player coming out of there. They have some guys. I would say if you're looking for a team to watch that may just be playing on one of these off days, Monaco is a good team. I feel like they're going to play a lot of good football this campaign. I actually might tap into them in their league as well. But yeah, that's about it for Champions League. This was week one. We're going to have a lot more matches as we go forward, but highlights, shout outs. And
there was one more thing I want to talk about though.
Go ahead.
Just real quick. You know, these players think about going on strike.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I heard about this.
I've been hearing these little rumblings, bro.
Because of all the games.
Rodri's one of the ones.
Too many games.
Many games, and hey, I'm gonna be sad as a fan because I won't be able to watch football. But I'm not even mad. I feel them because they maybe get 2 weeks off, 3 weeks off a year.
Yeah,
a lot of these guys.
Off season is not even that long.
Yeah. Exactly. Off season is really 2 weeks, and they still have to train. So they have to come back fixed. The season starts
exactly.
in a couple of weeks. So they have a preseason tour. So, you know, yeah, man. I just wanted to bring it up. I just want to know you guys' thoughts because I've been hearing about it, and it's like, ooh, it's catching some steam.
If they go on strike, I mean, they do need breaks, though. Like
they do.
Let's be for real. I think Germany and Italy. I'm not sure about Spain. I think during the winter time they give their guys like
two. Spain, months. Yeah, Spain has a break too.
Yeah, yeah. So it'd be nice to see the Prem do that too. Like everybody get a break, and we'll come back. But it's one of those things, you know. At the end of the day, I get it. It's a business, you know. It's everything now is a money grab. You know, half of these games. Don't even matter. Like, what the hell is a Conference League game? Yeah. What the hell is a fucking Nations League? Is that where they play?
Finalissima.
Like, what are these games? Come on, guys. Mm-hmm. Like, I get it. So, if the players do go on strike,
I support it.
It's understandable. Exactly.
I mean, I feel like it's unfair to just put them in a situation, obviously, where it's just like, this is just. We just have more games. So, like, there has to be, you know, some sort of solution or I don't know. Like, I just – the whole conference league, like, we could do without the whole conference league.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? That's another one. The Nations League. I just feel like, you know, like the – I don't know. And this just may be just because I'm not, like, you know, younger anymore. But, like, when I was younger, man, I feel like there was, like, a little bit of, like, a prestige – of like the national team,
exactly.
When they go
international games,
like when they go off to the like when your players go off to their national teams, it's like it's only for a short period of time. So it's like you know that what you get from that is just I don't know. It's just like now I just feel like they're always it's like another international break, which I know it's never the case, but you know obviously of fans of the game, it's just like damn, like I don't know, we could definitely do with less games.
I feel like those breaks used to be like more for like qualifiers and you know games that actually matter. But now it's like a conference. It's a Nations League game.
Yeah.
What the hell is that? Yeah.
Even the friendlies, like you know, you used to be excited about like a young prospect, you know, like having a great season, you know, gets his opportunity. Even a friendly, I used to be tuned in with the friendlies, but now it's like. Bro,
yeah, that's
I feel right. like you guys are actually, you guys played together so much that like I feel like on an international scale, y'all should be dialed in with one another. But I don't know, it just that's another conversation. Yeah, man. Shout out to the players, man.
Yeah, I just pray for their health, man. I just want to see them care about these games and be able to perform at the highest level. So hopefully, you know, they and that's the thing. There's no real like union because it's all these different countries. And I guess maybe you could probably form one under UEFA and then form another one under FIFA. But I'm not exactly sure how those things work. And so there's really no governing body to be like, hey, bruh. We mm-hmm. need to protect our players coming from current players, former players, and like current coaches and former, you know what I mean? Like this, it can't just be the players just saying, hey, we think we're playing too many games. It has to be a concerted effort. Yeah. And so we'll see.
Yeah, let's get into predictions, man. Midweek game. Shout out Conor Gallagher, just scored, tied it up.
We have I think Carabao on Tuesday.
Oh yeah, you do. You play. I've never heard of, shout out Barrow. You play Barrow. Yeah.
I want to say they're in the same league as Wrexham.
Okay, shout out Barrow. No disrespect.
I would love a six piece, but
oh wow,
we can keep it respectful.
You're acting different now.
Six piece spicy,
fucking spicy. Mike changed the location. He's too relaxed. Look at him. He's on the couch.
Yeah,
feel me. Yeah.
Nah, I feel good about this squad, even though the back line is, you know, suspect. I feel good about us.
Okay.
I had us in the top four in our predictions.
Yeah. Barrow, I want to see. I want to see all the guys that don't play. I want to see Mark Guiu. I want to see Mudrick.
Viega.
I want to see Reece James.
No, I don't want to see him. And to be honest, now that we're on the topic, I mean, I sent Mike, some little rumblings. I saw that we're looking to replace him this January. So this Reece James saga might be coming to a very sad and bitter end, but it is what it is.
Man. You know where he should go? I know the perfect place for him.
Milan?
Nah. City. Nah. You don't got to play that much. Rotation. You're still competitive. He's still a good player. He just can't.
You said the same thing about Calvin Phillips. You know what they do at City.
That was never me. That was
somebody in here was talking about Calvin
that
Phillips.
Wasn't me.
Somebody literally said it. Oh, he won't have to play as many games because he'll be a rotational. And I was just like,
It was probably Solo.
It was somebody. It was one of us four, and it was.
I do not rate Calvin Phillips.
Or the Gasser.
Y'all know where I stand.
It might be the guy. Maybe it was a Gasser.
Probably was the Gasser.
We see
Bolton midweek. There are a couple guys I need to play 90 minutes. I need Calafiori to play 90 minutes. There's no reason he should be coming off at 70 minutes. I understand you haven't been playing, but I need you to play 90 minutes. I need to get your fitness. I need to see Mwaniri. You feel me? I need to see some of these guys get their fitness. And some of these guys, I want to see Martinelli play. Like some of these guys need to get back on, just playing better. And then on the weekend we see Leicester. I fully expect us to get a dub. I expect 6 points this week. You know, we got four points from two tough matches. 6 points this week has to be so.
Uh-huh. Yeah, we play FC Twente. The Europa League.
Europa.
Yeah,
hey, I'm putting in a bet against you. I'm just
like, yeah, man. I already know this is going to be a tough game. I can already see it. But obviously, in preparation of the game, Ugarte didn't start. Casemiro didn't play. Rashford didn't start. So I think that we're always going to take these cup competitions seriously, and I think we're always going to go strong where we can. So at home, I think that they'll be able to beat FC Twente, and hopefully, like I was saying, even with Champions League, yeah, we're not in Champions League, but if we can rack up these wins early in the tournament and just start focusing on the league or the other cup competitions, I think that that's what's best. And hopefully we can use the disappointment as motivation. The disappointment from the game versus Crystal Palace is motivation, but I think we win over the weekend. I don't know, shit, who do we play over the weekend? We play Tottenham. Oh boy. Oh man, we meet again. Big Ainge. Big Ainge Postecoglou.
Is it Old Trafford?
It's at Old Trafford. So I mean, you know, with certain teams, I just feel like form goes out the right window. I've always said this about Chelsea. With Chelsea, it doesn't matter what we could lose three in a row. With Chelsea, I feel very comfortable. Tottenham is another one of those. So I expect the dub at Old Trafford. And, you know, especially if Ainge wants to come out and play the way he wants to play. Play. And, yeah. We'll see what happens. Yeah, I see a dub at Old Trafford, man.
Yeah, shout out. We have Brighton too. I don't think we touched on Brighton. Yeah, okay. our hated rivals. You know,
that's your beat team.
No, they like to extort money out of us. I hope we beat the brakes off of them.
They like to extort money.
You got a good team. Who's your left back? Cucurella. Cucurella actually had a pretty good game against
us. He struggled, but he held his own.
Yeah, he struggled. I wonder. Adingra is going to get a hold of him, though. Yeah, I didn't say. Bro, I said one person. I said one matchup. Hey,
shout out, Simon. Shout out, Simon Adingra. Yeah, my African. Yeah. Oh, African, my African.
All right, shout outs. Who you guys got, man?
I'll go my first. Shout out, honestly, to my boys at Fulham, Smith Rowe and Reece Nelson. Each game the goal today. Hey, I just want to say Smith Rowe quietly balling out at Fulham to start.
Yeah.
Quietly been balling out at Fulham. So I love to see him doing his thing. Yeah, shout out to him.
Yo, shout out to my boy Nicholas Jackson. Action Jackson. I've been telling you, when the ball starts hitting the back of the net, the conversation is going to change, and it's coming. For the ones of you that are not prepared, just get ready. You think I'm spicy now? Just wait. just wait. Okay. Somebody looked at me and told me Havertz was a better striker than Nicholas Jackson. Okay.
Oh, man. I have my shout-out is Vincent Kompany, man. Big week for him. I hope he continues to have success. And shout-out Michael Olise, too, man. Low-key having his way in Bundesliga, man.
Are we surprised?
No, like, I don't know, bro. No disrespect to Bundesliga, but, like, Michael Olise was good. I think he was definitely, like, one of those players that was, like, you know, this was going to be the season where he really kind of, flourishes. But, bro, when these guys leave the Prem and they go somewhere else, it's like, why do they look crazy? They look
I feel like because the physical demand of the Prem is so high that some of these guys' bodies just can't go through it. They just can't keep up. So when they go to these other leagues, the physical demand isn't as high.
Yeah. Well, shout out.
It isn't as fast as the Prem. And over there, things slow down, bro. I feel like they go overseas and things just slow down because they've been in the Prem where everything's just so hectic and so crazy all the time. And they can go there and like, oh, I have 3 seconds on the ball. You don't get that in the Prem.
Between him and Musiala, it's like,
even Kane, dog.
Kane. Like, yeah.
I'm looking at Kane, bro. He's like bagging goals upon goals, but nobody's talking about it anymore because they're just like,
he's all in. Yeah,
it's Kane. But it's crazy. He's doing crazy work over there.
Yeah. All right.
Another episode in.
Cornelius, did you say anybody?
Oh, no. But honestly, I'll, I'll do something I probably no one expects me to do. Shout out Brennan Johnson.
Okay.
I'm not gonna lie to you. I never really paid attention to that guy ever, and I was watching the Spurs, a little bit of the Spurs match in their highlights, and I really like his game. He's a player that I think a lot of teams like kind of need that type of player. Just very, very direct. Nothing too fancy, nothing too crazy about his game, but shout out to him. I'm kind of gonna peep his career. I want to see him do well.
Yeah, he's had a tough week too, man. Because after the London Derby, he was getting racially abused. So
yeah, I heard about that as well.
Yeah, so shout out to him, man. Good man. How did we do on Lock of the Week before we leave?
Lock of the Week.
We did not get the max.
I did not.
I lost. Aston Villa came through for your boy. Aston Villa came through for
Mike. Cornelius, you had Brighton. Oh, they didn't win
today. They tied.
Draw. Dang, we went 1-3 this week, boys.
Yeah, not 1-3, man.
I thought this is our worst week yet. We'll get back right next week. There's marquee matchups this week and some tough matchups. But we'll get back. We'll get right. A lot of GRGs. You know, this is a big week. A lot of big matches. Some GRGs are coming up. So.
Yeah, take whoever City's playing the next game.
Facts. Take overs on City games and stuff,
right? Yeah, over 2.5 goals for sure.
Easy. Haaland hat trick, no joke.
But yeah, man, good episode, guys. Appreciate everybody for tuning in, as always. Good luck to you and your future endeavors.